Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films, Living, Children of the Mist, and Turn Every Page, The Adventures of Robert Caro and Robert Gottlieb. Maybe they should have called it The Adventures of the Two Bobs.
They could have called it that very easily, yeah.
It wouldn't have had the same je ne sais quoi, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, it's a long subtitle, but it tells you just what the movie is more or less about. But let's get to that one in a moment. I'd like to start with Living today, which is a movie directed by one Oliver Hermanis. And it is very much a movie starring and kind of really centered on the very fine British actor Bill Nighy. And this movie is, in fact, a remake. Way back in the 1950s, one of the very greatest of all Japanese filmmakers, Akira Kurosawa, who is best known for movies like Rashomon and The Seven Samurai, made a movie called Ikiru, and which the English language title of that movie is To Live. So Living is very much a remake of that movie. And the Japanese movie Ikiru is about a man who he's a civil servant, and he has a really, really boring, dull desk job. He just sits there with a few colleagues all day long and does the same thing over and over again. And this has always been his life. This is what he does. And then one day he gets a very grim diagnosis of a medical condition from his physician, and this somehow turns a key in his lock. And he decides that before he dies, he would like to do one worthwhile thing that would really help the world in ways that would still be around after he was gone. And so he does, and he devotes himself to, this is something that's related to the department that he works for, related to setting aside a park for children and people in a certain neighborhood to use, and he devotes himself to that. And what happens during this Japanese movie, Ikiru, is that he dies around halfway through the movie, which we were expecting him to die, and then we have a lot of sort of rehashing among other people of what he accomplished and who really deserves the credit for it and that sort of thing. So I'm telling you the plot of the Japanese movie, Ikiru, because it's really close to the plot of the new movie, Living, starring Bill Nighy as that civil servant. Now we have all the action now transferred to England, and we have a very similar situation. He is a very dull, boring person who just does the same thing. He rides the same train to work every day, and he talks with the same people, and then he sits at his desk and he does the same dull job. And then, yes, he gets the grim diagnosis, and he decides he wants to accomplish something, and so he sets about it. And this is not exactly a spoiler, but you know, roughly halfway through this movie, again, he dies, and then afterwards we have people wrangling over just what it is he accomplished and exactly who deserves the credit, etc. So that is what Living is about. Now, I actually consider Ikiru to be one of Akira Kurosawa's weaker movies, which is to say I have always found it rather dull, rather lifeless. The second half comes alive because when his colleagues are sitting around memorializing him after he's dead and thinking about his life, they all get drunk at this ceremony, and there's a whole lot of drunken wrangling, and that injects a little bit of liveliness into the movie in its second half. Similar things happen in the new movie, Living, but I must say I don't consider it exactly a very lively movie either. For one thing, that big drunkenness in the second half doesn't really happen in Living. Everything is much more British, much more dignified, much more restrained, much more sort of stiff, as is the character himself. Now, it's a very likable movie. It has a very worthwhile message to impart, the idea that, yes, there are things that we can all do to make our lives more worth living, and this man finally figures that out, and in his last days, he really does accomplish something which is quite wonderful. Bill Nighy is very, very fine in the role, but again, I find the whole thing just a little bit lifeless. I wish there were just more life in Living, to put it in a pithy way, I hope. So it's a good movie. It's a worthwhile movie. It's a very nice movie. And Bill Nighy gives a wonderful performance in it. But I just wish the whole thing had, again, a little bit more life. I wish there were more life in living. It's a good movie. Certainly not a fun movie to sit through. But if you are an admirer of Bill Nighy, as I generally am, it's worth seeing, if for that reason alone. Interesting movie, and I'm always glad to see an art film like this get into general circulation, because it very much is that. You can also go back and check out the Kurosawa movie. And again, I didn't say this before, but a lot of people think I'm crazy for thinking this is one of his weaker movies. It's really one of his most beloved movies. I've just never been all that fond of it. But hey, Living is a very nice movie, and I think it deserves a good audience, even though it's not exactly a fun movie. Now, Jill, I would like to turn to a couple of documentaries, a couple of nonfiction movies. And the first one is Children of the Mist, which is directed by Ha Le Diem. And it is very much a movie about the Hmong culture in the northern part of Vietnam. And that plays a big part in the movie. But this is not a sort of a movie about a people, although it is that to some extent, of course. It is very much a movie about one person. She is known as D.I., as she is spelled in the subtitles, and she is a teenager. And we find very much about certain travails that a lot of teenagers, especially girl teenagers, have to go through in this region of North Vietnam. Here is the story of this documentary. She is growing up, and she understands that there's something called an education, and she would very much like to have one of those. And she is really hoping that her parents will go along with her on this, although they are skeptical. These are rural people. They spend their time working on the land, and that is what her parents expect her to do. And she would really like to get an education that will help her to get out of that kind of life and maybe live a more exciting life of some sort. However, there is a very, very powerful tradition in this part of Vietnam, and girl children, are expected to get married very early, sometimes when they're not even quite into their teens yet. And there is a custom where a boy can decide he wants to marry a particular girl, and if, under the right circumstances, he manages to carry the girl off, then she is obligated to marry him. So, this is what happened to Dee. She is a very, very young girl. She is in her early teens, and a boy who really fancies her comes along, kidnaps her, and then everybody is expecting that that's it. Her fate is now sealed, and she does not want to accept this. So that's what this movie is about. And it is a documentary, and so all this stuff is really real. It's really happening. This documentary maker spent about 3 years with Dee, following her around, documenting her life, chronicling her life, and certainly capturing this situation. All of this comes to a head in the last part of the movie. The whole first part of the movie, in fact, maybe about two-thirds of it, is very, very interesting ethnographic filmmaking, which is to say, we get a very strong picture of this girl, of her life, of her family, of the kind of life that all of the people in her village lead. We get a good sense of that, and it's fascinating stuff. You really learn about a culture which is not going to be very familiar to most of us. Then, in about the last third or last quarter of the movie, the drama centering on Dee and her impending maybe marriage gets really, really intense. And it all culminates in a scene where people are literally fighting over her. And it's extremely, intensely dramatic. Dee has a real mind of her own, a real will of her own. She's a very strong young girl. And if not for that, then her fate would have been sealed when this boy carried her off under certain circumstances and everybody accepted this as a fait accompli. But she has a very strong personality. She knows what she wants. She does not particularly want to marry this boy, although even in her, the tradition lives very strongly. So you really have to wonder how things are going to come out, and I won't tell you that. I regard Children of the Mist as one of the most fascinating and dramatic documentaries that I've seen in a long time. I really advise seeking it out. Now, or when it starts streaming, and I'm sure it'll be widely available in the near future, if not quite yet. Children of the Mist, a really, really interesting and intensely dramatic documentary. Highly recommended. Our third film today, Jill, is another documentary, Turn Every Page, The Adventures of Robert Caro and Robert Gottlieb. This is a movie about writing and about publishing. And again, it is just fascinating. I had such a great time watching this movie. So the two people mentioned in the subtitle, Robert Caro, he usually signs his books Robert A. Caro, and Robert Gottlieb, have been a team for a very long time, a team of sorts. Robert A. Caro is a writer, and he is best known for two books. One is called The Power Broker, which is a very, very long biography of Robert Moses, the great New York builder, who, very, very controversial too, by the way, who built phenomenal things in New York City and in New York State, on Long Island, where I grew up when I was a kid back in the 50s and 60s. Robert Moses would build a new bridge or a new road, and my family's life would change. It would change the way we got around. He was an amazing character, and he built a lot of the most famous things in New York City as well. But in order to accomplish these things, he had to displace enormous numbers of people, especially in his New York City building. People turned out of their homes. People left with no place to live because of his huge building projects, what they used to call slum clearance and that sort of thing. So very, very controversial. And Robert A. Caro's, probably his most famous book, The Power Broker, is a huge biography of Robert Moses. And he has been working now for many, many years on a multi-volume biography of Lyndon Baines Johnson, the president. When it's finished, which we hope it will be, Robert A. Caro is now very old, but when it's finished, it will be a huge, gigantic, massive five-volume documentary of Lyndon Johnson. Robert A. Caro's main theme has always been power, the way power is used in American society, the way power is manifested in American government, and that is what The Power Broker is very much about, and it's what is Lyndon Johnson, or a biography, is very much about. So that is Robert A. Caro, a hugely important writer who is still very much on the scene, now in his 80s, finishing up the last volume of his great biography of Lyndon Baines Johnson, his huge biography. So Robert Gottlieb is a person who has edited him for many, many years. Robert Gottlieb has been the head of publishing houses. He has been editor of the New Yorker magazine, and he has been Robert A. Caro's editor for many, many years. And they have a hugely successful and productive and important relationship, but it's also sometimes a very edgy relationship. They often disagree about things. They disagree about large things, such as how long a book should be, and they disagree about minute things, such as semicolons. Those are the things that turn up in this movie very, very often. For example, we find out that as massive and gigantic as it is, The Power Broker was cut by almost one-third before it was published, because Robert Gottlieb said, it's just not going to fit in a single book. You can't do it. And so, of course, Caro said, well, how about having it in multiple volumes? And Gottlieb said, I may be able to get people interested in Robert Moses for one book, not for more than one book. So it has to be in one volume, and it will literally fall apart if we try to squeeze this many pages into one volume. So it was cut vastly. So there was a huge disagreement that they had, which was ultimately resolved in favor of the editor, and it was cut. They also, though, argue over minute things such as semicolons. They disagree about semicolons. One of them really likes semicolons. The other one really doesn't like semicolons. And they will apparently have really, really big arguments over that sort of thing. So this is the sort of thing you get in Turn Every Page. Now, it sounds sort of maybe dull. We're going to have a whole movie about two people arguing over semicolons. That's really not the way it is at all. In fact, the two of them didn't want to appear in the movie together. So only at the very end of the movie do we have the two of them during an actual editing session, and then they wouldn't allow any sound. So the movie is really not about their actual work editing moment by moment. It is very much about their work process and their personalities. And what we get in this movie, sort of alternating between the two people, are very, very, just very interesting and warm and human portraits of their personalities, what they are like as human beings. We get to know family members. We get to see the ways that they work, the ways that they operate. We learn fascinating things that I didn't know before. For example, Robert Gottlieb, the illustrious book and magazine editor, is a fanatical collector of women's plastic purses, and he has them all over his house, which his wife is not very happy about. But he's been doing this for years. So this is the sort of fascinating and really just sort of, oh, just an unexpected detail that turns up in this movie. So Turn Every Page, The Adventures of Robert Caro and Robert Gottlieb, the adventures that it details, they're sort of intellectual adventures, they're literary adventures, but we get very lively portraits of these two men and the work that they've done together over many, many years, and how they operate and how they think about books, how they think about literature, how they think about their work, and how they think about life. It's just a fascinating, funny, interesting, engaging documentary. If you're interested in literature, you shouldn't miss it. If you're not interested in literature, maybe this movie will get you interested in literature. It's a really, really fascinating movie. Turn Every Page, The Adventures of Robert Caro and Robert Gottlieb. I actually found it sort of an adventure. So that is my somewhat documentary story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you. David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Living, Children of the Mist, Turn Every Page, The Adventures of Robert Caro and Robert Gottlieb.